Thank you so much. Let's thank God for Anthony and for the youth ministry and ministry of music. Amen. Amen. For our worship leaders and our worship assistants, I do want to, as we continue with the order of service, I do want to take a moment right now to say thank you. Thank you to Pastor John Maxim, to Lee Chan, to the leadership and the membership here at Grace Church for inviting me to come and to worship with you today. And I would like to take a moment also to acknowledge those of you who are here today that have served in the past and in the present at Bergen Pines, Bergen Regional Medical Center, and Bergen Newbridge Medical Center. For those of you who don't know, it's all the same hospital, okay? They just changed the name over the past 30 years. So what I would like to do is, for those of you who have come and have served and volunteer and worked, past and present, just stand where you are. I just want to thank you on behalf of the patients and the residents. Stand where you are. Come on, Susan, stand up, stand up. If you've been there at the hospital, if you sang a song, if you ministered there, if you helped out, Pastor, if you helped me out, let's put our hands together and thank God for those who are here. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much on behalf of the residents and the patients at Bergen Newbridge Medical Center. Again, thank you. And I thank you as well for helping me, because I've said this here before to Pastor Maxim and to you, and that is that without you, we can't do the ministry that we do there. With you, we can do great things. First of all, we can have an opportunity to invite more people to come down to chapel service. I'm sure you can't imagine opening up the church and being the only person there who is the pastor and also the singer and also the setting up the equipment and also to go upstairs and bring all of the patients and residents down in wheelchairs and then come back and preach and then take everybody back upstairs and then take everything that I need your help. I can't do that by myself. And so more people are able to come. And so I do want to take this time and to say to you, thank you. Now, according to the continued service, it is time for the children's message. I'm going to invite the children, if you'd be so kind. Can I use one of these mics and step from behind here? Is that okay? Okay. And I'm going to ask the children just to join me right up here, please. They went downstairs already? Oh, they... Okay, well, I'm sorry. I'll pray for them. And that'll be for those of you who are worshiping with us here at OCM Grace Church, Pastor John Maxim. Amen. For those of you who are online. Okay, so they're down. Let's bow our heads in prayer and thank God for the children. Amen. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we lift up our children before you, God. Not only are they our heritage, Lord God, but not only are they children, but they are children of God with your hand upon them. We ask, oh God, that you encamp your angels around them, that you give them knowledge and wisdom and understanding, that we would be examples, living epistles before them, Lord, as parents and as church leaders and as adults, dear God, and teens, dear Lord. We thank you for the knowledge and wisdom that they gain from Sunday school and Bible lessons and being a part of worship, that they would know, Lord God, that God loves them, that God wants to use them and is using them. And this is an opportunity and this is a place where that's taking place here at OCM Grace Church. Lord God, we ask that as they study your word, as they study the lessons, as they learn about you, that, Lord God, that they would gain understanding, the Lord God, to be able to ask the questions, to understanding to be able to, Lord God, answer the questions, understanding to be able to share, hallelujah, the gospel message, the good news with their friends and with their family and with others that they come in contact with as young as they are. We, Lord God, thank you for protecting them. We pray for them because we know, Lord God, that the devil is no respect of person. Doesn't matter what age you are. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said he come that we might have life, have it more abundantly. We speak life in our children. We speak abundant life in our children. And we thank you, Lord God, that they continue to study your word and learn about Jesus and share it, Lord God, with joy in their heart, with conviction, and with your presence and your power as young as they are. Those who are here, part of OCM Grace Church, and those who are listening right now at the sound of this prayer, we ask, oh God, that you have your way in them, and that we would see the manifestation of your glory through them, as well as you working through us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the people of God said together, amen and glory to God. I believe there's a scripture, and Beverly is coming at this time. Amen.
Good morning. Today's scripture reading is from John 9, verse 1 through 11. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been born blind. His followers asked him, "Teacher, whose sin caused this man to be born blind? His own sin or his parents' sin?" Jesus answered, "It is not this man's sin or his parents' sin that made him blind. This man was born blind so that God's power could be shown in him. While it is daytime, we must continue doing the work of the one who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After Jesus said this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with it and put the mud on the man's eyes. Then he told the man, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam." Siloam means sent. So the man went, washed, and came back seeing. The neighbors and some people who had earlier seen this man begging said, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "He is the one," but others said, "No, he only looks like him." The man himself said, "I am the man." They asked, "How did you get your sight?" He answered, "The man named Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. Then he told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'm going to ask if y'all would be so kind to do something that we do at the Reformed Church of Oradell when it comes time for the word and or for the time of preaching. It's a positive affirmation, okay? And what we do is we hold up the Bibles, okay? We hold up our Bible, whether it's our own personal Bible, whether it's a pew Bible. And if we don't have a Bible, then what we do is we ask you to just hold up your hand and put your hand over your heart. That's the thing. And then we have a positive confession, or I should say positive affirmation. And I'm going to tell you what it is in advance so you don't think it's something I'm telling you to say something that you don't believe in. It says, "The word of God is light. The word of God is love. The word of God is life. I believe it, Lord Jesus. Help me to live it." That's it. All right. Can we do that? All right. Let's hold up the Bible. Let's hold up our word. Amen. Amen. If you don't have a Bible, hold up your hand. Put your hand over your heart. Hold up your hand. Say this with me. Say, "The word of God is light." All right. Say, "The word of God is life." Say, "The word of God is love." Say, "I believe it." Now look up and say, "Lord Jesus, help me to live it." Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Well, you may be seated in the house of God. I'm going to ask for those of you who have the Bible, open it up. Open it up, please, so that you can follow along. I know that it was read, and I'm going to share some things and touch on scriptures that were read again. But I believe that there's something to be said, not only in the hearing of the word of God, but also participating as we look at the scriptures and look at it on the paper if we have it, or look at it on our phone, or look at it on our iPad. I believe there's something that we're able to see when ordinarily perhaps maybe we wouldn't. As you know, our theme for today is sharing the gospel. When Pastor asked me to come and to preach, I asked him, I said, what is it? Is there anything y'all are teaching on or preaching on? Is there a series? Is there a topic? Is there anything? Because I want to just continue to be consistent, at least in our sermons are different. Our, you know, styles are different, et cetera. But at least in the message of what the church is being taught, et cetera, at least to look at that. And he said, sharing the gospel. And that's where you got here, sharing the gospel, which is the good news. And that's where you got for today. Our message that I want to share is called Life Lessons from Sharing the Gospel, which is the good news. Life Lessons from Sharing the Gospel, which is the good news. In our text today, Jesus is encountering a man who was born blind. And begging, and he was healed by Jesus. So I want us to take a moment right now as we look at this thing is what does it mean to share the gospel? How do we share the gospel? Oftentimes, you know, when it comes time to witness, we're nervous, we're scared. We're like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to approach people. What if they say this? What if they do this? What if they ignore me? What if they walk away? What if they curse at me? What if they do this? You know, and we perhaps are afraid and don't, you know, feel comfortable doing it in terms of sharing the gospel. And I believe that maybe from this particular text, this story that takes place, this miracle that of healing that takes place, that it can kind of help us all and being able to share the good news just by looking and listening and maybe gleaning from what takes place here. So let's take a look at the text. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man. He saw a man who had been born blind. Follow along with me. His followers asked him, again, those who were walking with Jesus and following with Jesus, he asked them, teacher, whose sin caused this man to be born blind? His sin or his parents' sin? There was a belief back then that if someone had a disability, if someone was sick, if someone had problems, etc., that the belief was that they must have sinned. You know the story of Job and all that happened to Job and the discourse and the conversation that had taken place, considered one of the oldest books in the Bible. You heard them say, well, Job, you must have sinned. You had to sin against God for all of those things to happen to you. Some of us know that there have been things that have happened in our lives that were beyond our control, and it wasn't a result of our sinning directly. But things happen. Some of us have experienced people just walking up to you and saying something that was derogatory, something out of calling you out of your name, saying something that touched your heart and hurt your heart. And then the thought crosses our mind, but what did I do to that person? I don't even know them. Others may have been born with a different ability. I know that there's a term used as disability. Blindness, as in the blind man, would be considered maybe in that day a disability. But I've learned in the community of persons that may be blind or that may have a different ability. They call it that, a different ability. I've just taken my ability and had to adjust it to be able to live and to function. And so they don't always see it as a disability, because people then look at you a certain way, disability. See, I got a disability that y'all may not even know. Just by looking at me, now you're going to probably say, well, if it's not something we can see, then the man must be crazy. No, that's not my disability. Not yet. Anyway, that's not my disability. Mine's is I'm visually impaired, but you couldn't tell. If you saw me when I was a kid grow up, you say, oh yeah, that boy is visually impaired. His glasses is as thick as a Coke bottle. In fact, that's what they used to call me, Coke bottle. There he is. There's Coke bottle right there. Glasses that thick. Somebody might say, boy, he's got a disability. You have your stories, I have my stories, and we're going to be able to share perhaps maybe some of these stories. This man that was born blind, they asked, and Jesus responded. Jesus said to them, this man has not sinned. That doesn't mean the man never committed any sin. That's not what Jesus is talking about. What he's saying here is that that you looking at this man and seeing him blind, seeing him begging, is not a result of something he directly did. All of us have sinned, come short of the glory of God. We understand that. But the question was, why was this particular man in this particular situation in the condition in which he was in? He had to have done something wrong. Who was it, him? Or was it his parents? And then, of course, if it's his parents, shame on you, parents. And then if it was him, his parents said, I ain't had nothing to do with that. That's on him. No. And some of us are parents are saying, yeah, that's my child, but we didn't teach him that. We didn't teach her that, you know. And so Jesus responds and says, don't be so quick to put blame on people. Look beyond what you see and put your faith and trust this Jesus in me. He says, no, neither this man sinned nor his parents sinned. But this is an opportunity that you might see the power and the person and the glory of God manifested right in your presence. My God, I wonder if we think about that when something bad happens in our life. I wonder if we take a moment to look at that and say, you know, I can't think of anything I said. I can't think of anything I did directly. And if I did, I apologize. But we still might question. But I wonder if it's a situation where it's a teachable moment. Everything that happens in our life is a teachable moment. You know that we can learn from everything, even from the worst things that happen in our life. The great thing about this journey with Jesus is this, is that when we're walking with Jesus, the scripture is true. When we are walking with him, in spite of the things that happen, God can still work things that are hurtful and painful and maybe a different ability, still work it out in the midst of it for his glory. So that we still in the midst of it can give glory to God. Now, are we giving glory to our situation and circumstance? No, we're giving glory to God who is able to transform us in the midst of it. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Thank God we don't stay in the valley. We walk through the valley. And how do we walk through the valley? Because God is with us. So they said, who sinned? Jesus said, no, that God's power could be shown in him. Verse number 4, if you're following along. Why? While it is still daytime, we must continue doing the work of the one who sent me. So again, Jesus is saying the one who sent me. Well, who sent him? The Father sent the Son so that the Son could what? Could atone and die for the sin of the world. And the Son, they ascended into heaven after the crucifixion, the burial, the resurrection, and ascension to do what? To send down the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I must go away so that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, can come. And so Jesus is saying, while you have light, while you have illumination in the world, while you can see, while you have me, and during this sharing of the gospel, it is important for us to know that we're not by ourselves. We're not walking alone, that God is that light, that God does direct and order our steps, and God does show us the way and give us the words to say and what not to say. If we take time And listen and put our faith and trust in him. Jesus in verse number 5 says, while I'm in the world, you have light. I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. If we're looking for light, Lord, enlighten me. Okay, well, go to the source of light. And that's Jesus, who is the light of the world. And then God calls us to be lights in this dark world. After Jesus said this, now check this out. Can you imagine, have you ever, when you read these scriptures, have you ever pictured it happening in front of you? Scripture says that Jesus spit. Now I know it's, you know, we're in church and it's vulgar and I'll let you use your imagination. That was your imagination, okay. For those of you who went by real quick, he spit on the ground. Now, this may sound bad as it is, but if you read in other places, God didn't always heal the same way using the same method, because the scripture says sometimes he placed his hands on their eyes, on that portion of the body. I was just telling you about my vision, right? And you can see my eye is blinking. And that's because my contacts is running around inside my eyeball. But anyway, there was another time in which Jesus, the text says, he didn't spit on the ground. He didn't put it on his hand. The text says he spit in the man's eye. Can you imagine that? Can you picture that? Jesus, help me. I want to be able to see. Jesus goes, shh. It'd be like, if we knew that Jesus was going to do it that way, I wonder how many of us would say, hold it, Jesus. Hold it 1 minute. I know what you did with the other guy. I'm not up for that right now. Could you do it another way for me? But then there are some people like this man right here. There's some people that says, God, have a way you want to bless me. Have a way you want to heal me. Have a way you want to deliver me. Have a way you want to save my family, my household. Have a way you want to provide for me. It's all right, because you always have my best interest at heart. Lord Jesus, save me, deliver me, heal me, spit on me if that's what you got to do. Jesus spat on the ground, made some mud. And he put the mud in the man's eyes, verse number 7. And then he told the man, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, the pool of scent. Directions, instructions. It would help us a great deal that not only do we bring our requests to God, that we listen from God and listen for what God has to say to us. God, I need some help right now. I need a job. I really do. The bills are piling up. I have a great responsibility. I have a family. I need a job. I need you to help me. And so God says, I've heard your prayer. I've heard your cry. Trust me. You're going to receive a phone call, and that person is going to be able to assist you in one particular area. But then you're going to meet somebody along the way. And God doesn't always show us this along the way. He doesn't always do it like this. He doesn't always map it out, because it's important for us to have faith and trust in God, not in what we can get from God. But we know that if we put our faith and trust in God, never seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. We know that if we put our faith and trust in God, we can ask anything that we will, and it will be done according to his will, purpose, and plan. We know that. And so we say, okay, all right, well, I need to trust God in this situation. And we get a phone call, and the person says, listen, Charles, yes, you put in an application over a year ago. And at that time, we weren't looking for someone with your credentials. But now there's an opening, and we'd like for you to come on in and interview for the position. Oh, okay. And then we go there, and one thing leads to another, one thing leads to another, one thing leads to another. It's because we took time out not only to pray and bring our requests before the Lord, but we took time out to listen to God and be obedient to what God said. That's a part of my story of when I had lost my job 30 years ago working at a hospital. And that hospital, I don't say that hospital, I want to say some individuals in the hospital wanted me to do something that wasn't right. And I chose not to do it. They said, well, if you don't do it, we're not going to renew your contract. I was contract. I said, God, I'm in your hands. And sure enough, the end of the contract came around. They didn't hire me. They didn't renew my contract. And so I had to go home that same day and tell my wife, babe, they fired me. I just lost my job. I believe at that time we had just built a house. We had just had a child, and I had no job. And because we just had a child, she wasn't working, and I had no job. It is during those particular times in our life, beloved, where we take time out to see the hand of God working in our lives and be sensitive to hear what God has to say. Well, the man heard, and I'm not going to go on with my story. The man heard from God, and Jesus said to him, "Now you go and wash." Now the man could say, "Didn't I tell you, Jesus, I'm blind? Didn't I tell you I'm blind? You didn't see, Jesus, you God, you didn't see I was blind?" That's not what the man said. It says, then he told me to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Siloam, the pool of sin. And so the man went. He went, he washed, and he came back seeing. He went, say that with me. He went, he washed, he came back seeing. Say it again. Say he heard, he went, he washed, and he came back seeing. Now, the neighbors and some of the people who had earlier seen this man begging said, "Isn't this the man who used to sit at this pool and beg?" So not only was he blind, he was also a beggar. So he had that stigma of being blind. Okay, and it wasn't his fault that he was blind. But he needed some assistance. And so he was begging and asking people, you know, like people will stop us and ask us along our journey and along the way. But that's how they seen the man. They said, "Isn't this the man?" Some said, "He is the one." But others said, "No, he only looks like the one." And check this out. The man decided, he said to himself and he said to them, he said, "No, I am the man." Beverly, when you read that and you said, "I'm the man," that's why I had to say something, because it just rose up in me. I am the man. In other words, the man that you're talking about is blind. The man that you're talking about is a beggar. Yeah, I'm that man. I'm that man. I'm that man that needs help. I'm that man that misfortune has happened in my life. I'm that man who may be strung out. I'm that man. But it didn't end there. The story did not end there. Now, you're probably saying, why is he taking this time to go through this? Because you're going to see it in a minute. Verse number 10. And they asked, "Well, how did you get your sight? How were you able to see?" And so that man said to them, that man said to them, that man said to them. Now who's witnessing now? Who's sharing it now? He answered, the man named Jesus, this is what he did. He made some mud and he put it on my eye. And then he told me to go to the pool and to wash. And I went to the pool because this man who put mud in my eyes and put spittle and told me to go to the pool of scent and to wash. I heard the man and I obeyed his word and I went there and I began to wash and began to wash and began to wash and began to wash. And as I was watching, I began to see images. As I was watching, things that the old was being washed away and the new was coming in. As I was watching, I was in darkness, but now I'm able to see. As I was watching, I saw future, not despair, but I saw hope. And now as I was watching, good God Almighty, woo! And now I came back seeing. I seen you. I heard you before, but I see you now. And you know what? I kind of pictured you looking like the way you looking right now, you know, but now, and then others, I'll be like, wow, I didn't picture you that way. Wow. Isn't it so good that we don't just have to rely on our senses, but we rely on God, because we can miss people and get them mixed up. But it says that the man came back seeing. And so I want to share with us one life lesson. And this is the life lesson. If we all could tell God's story of how our relationship with Jesus has transformed our life. That would be one way to share the gospel. Think about it. Telling God's story of how your relationship with Jesus has transformed your life. Because, beloved, in sharing the gospel, we are sharing the good news of who God in Jesus is and in what God in Christ Jesus has done. And so let's take a moment. Think about it. Just think about one thing that Jesus has done in your life for you. Take a moment. Moment is up. Is there someone that'd like to share one thing that Jesus has done in your life? Just raise your hand and then feel free to share it. Yes, please. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Gave you another job. Is that what it was? gave you another job. I'm not saying everybody that gave you today and offered, you know, that tomorrow, you won't be millionaires. I'm going to be millionaires with the Lord anyway, right? But I'm not saying that. However, but what is happening and what is being shared is when we put our faith and trust in God, God does. It's fine. He's there with us. Now, think about it. That's just two people that are sharing. I was going to ask for one more. Someone who is just like, I wish you would have just gave me another moment. Just, okay, here's your moment.
One more.
And another moment for somebody. Because, okay. I love it, right? Go ahead, man. It's so,
I want to thank God because, honestly, I don't think I should be alive right now.
In hearing their testimony, it should have been some encouragement to all of us. Rather was God not only making ends meet, but giving more than we expected, not one job, but two jobs. God delivering from substance abuse and making a new man. Anyone in Christ Jesus, they are a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things become new. That we trust God for one thing and witnessing and sharing and in someone else's ministry and trying to help. And as a result, God has given you a ministry yourself to be able to share and to share with other people, and there's no fear because you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody is encouraged as a result of you sharing the good news. And wasn't that good news? Absolutely. I know I'm loud. It's okay to say hallelujah, thank you, you know. It's all right. It's important for us to be able to share. Because in our story today, the good news is that the man who was born blind said of his relationship with Jesus, I was once blind, but Jesus gave me sight. Isn't that the testimony of the three people that shared that they were once in this situation, but Jesus stepped in and gave them breakthrough, turned their situation around, made them whole? Gave them a better outlook on life, and they're sharing it with us so that we can be encouraged, because if God did it for them, he's the same God, and I know he's available to do it for us. Amen? Same God. And so my testimony is this. I once was a sinner. My testimony. I once was a sinner on my way to hell. But through faith in Jesus and his atonement for my sin, I'm now a saint, because God calls us as his children, saints of God. And I'm on my way to heaven. Is that your testimony? If that's your testimony, raise your hand. See that? I'm not the only one that had that testimony. See that? See that? And see the difference of how we can share the good news of Jesus the Christ. And so in conclusion, beloved, tell God's story of how it has transformed your life. And it has become now your story to be able to share with others. I know that there's a song that perhaps you have prepared to sing, but I'm going to ask that if we can just turn in our hymn books to page number 414, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And I'm going to end that and ask us to sing that together. There's three verses, 414, amen. Amen, if you have that. All right, I guess y'all looking for me to start it off? All right. Amen. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. Let's sing the chorus. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Let's see if we can pick it up just a little bit. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture, beautiful, now burst on my sight. Angels descending, praying from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Come on, everybody, let's sing the chorus. This is my
story.
Beautiful. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising our Savior. Savior all the day long. Third verse, perfect submission. Perfect submission. All is at rest. Beautiful. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting. Looking above. Filled with his goodness. Lost in his love. Come on, everybody sing. This is my story. This is my song. We're praising our Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising our Savior. Praising our Savior all the day long. Come on, let's give God praise. Hallelujah. Now go and tell somebody about the good news of Jesus Christ in your life. Amen. 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 I believe Yaser is going to come and to share.